You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Minutes after 9 o'clock, joining me, the man, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
What's going on, Mac?
Nothing. How you doing? What's new? What's shaking?
Nothing. I was telling you, I just found a new series to watch. AMC.
A new TV.
AMC.
American Movie Classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's called The Terror. The Terror.
The Terror?
It's about T-E-R-R-O-R. Terror.
Terror.
The Terror.
The Terror,
so it's
okay.
It's the ill-fated Northwest Passage voyage of the HMS Terror and the HMS Erebus. The two ships, they were lost with all hands back in, like, 1846.
And what, the North,
crazy.
The Northwest Passage was where?
They thought that they could, you know, enter south of Greenland, north of Canada, go into the Hudson Bay, Baffin Bay,
right,
and then find it around or the Arctic, and then drop back down, you know, towards China or Russia on that side.
Oh, that's the Northwest Passage to the Pacific. Through the Arctic Circle?
Yeah.
You. How'd that work out?
I know. In 1846?
Yeah, with wooden boats. And although I would imagine they had some pretty warm clothes, man. You have your bear skin on? That would probably work.
Bear skin wouldn't work. It had to be like walrus skin. Or.
Well,
dude, bears didn't thrive very much in the Arctic, like up where they are. Only like elephant seals did.
So what would you wear? Yeah, but the walrus, they use fat to insulate. No, they use fat to, it's the fat, not the, you ever see a skinny walrus?
Well, same with the bear. I would rather trust a walrus because walrus lives in that freaking ice cold water. A bear, a polar bear, every now and then goes in the water. So I would take my gamble, my bet on using the fur of an aquatic marine animal other than more of a land dwelling animal. And I get it, polar bears could probably survive, but they're not built to live in the water. But it's about the terror in the Erebus. And dude, it is crazy. I like this kind of stuff, like the, you know, Ernest Shackleton's successful attempt for the southern, you know, the Antarctic expedition. But this is that whole British, it's cool because 1846 on these British former warships, you know, these guys are all pomp and circumstance. And, you know, you can see the class system is very alive and well. And then here's the HMS Terror actually took part in the bombing and the shelling of Fort McHenry.
Bastards. What happened to
it? What famous music came from there?
The Star Spangled Banner. What,
written by?
Francis Scott Key.
Gosh, you're good.
Francis Scott Key, yeah, he was trying to help get somebody who was imprisoned by the
Prisoners.
In a ship.
Negotiate.
Yeah, he's trying to negotiate their release, and that's what he was doing in the vicinity of Fort McHenry when this little event got going, which is, you could see the actual flag. It's on display at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. And you walk
and
around the
corner. It's all in glass, but they're constantly doing work on it.
Yeah, it's cool. You walk around the corner and you're like,
Oh, yeah, it takes your breath away.
Yeah, that's what Francis Scott Key. Yeah, if you've never been to the Smithsonian Institute, you see crazy, crazy stuff, like, around every corner. You see, all of a sudden you walk around the corner, here's Judy Garland's ruby red slippers in The Wizard of Oz. And they have, like, a million sequences sewn onto the shoe. They're amazing,
right?
To get that look that they got, and you're looking like, holy smokes, here are her ruby red slippers. Then you look up at the rafters. Here's the Spirit of St. Louis, right, hanging there.
The yeah,
yeah.
Not the mock-up.
Yeah. Then I was in the Museum of Industry, and there was these are the surgical instruments that were used to extract the bullet from Abraham Lincoln's head, at that house across from Ford's Theater. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Shit. But, yeah, it's very cool. Coolest thing you've ever seen in a museum is? That's a tough one.
Yeah. The Hope Diamond was pretty cool.
Where'd you see that?
That's at Smithsonian, too.
The Hope Diamond. What's the story behind the Hope Diamond? Why is the Hope Diamond? Like, I've heard of the Hope Diamond. Like, I don't know. Like, why have I heard
it's
of the Hope Diamond?
It's a big freaking diamond, dude.
It's a big freaking diamond, dude. That's what you're giving me.
You don't realize how big that diamond is.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember the history. I know it's a very like ill-fated thing to it, but I'm not really quite sure. Like once you start talking about it, it'd be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was like, there's another diamond there too, a huge diamond. I can't remember. It's like the African, the Queen of Africa, or something African, or.
Is it the one that old lady dropped over the side of the Titanic in the movie? Is it that one? Because that one, I can tell you where that one is.
That's just still at the bottom of the bucket of the scene.
Exactly. Oh, come on! Why would she do that? Oh, she was in love, man. Yep, she was in love.
Jack Dawson. Kept it, man. In the movie. She faked it.
She did fake it. No way she's giving that thing up. That thing's ginormous. But she would get sued. I mean, what would the statute of limitations are? No, he gave it to her. He gave it to her. But he did file an insurance claim. And those insurance adjusters, they never go away. They never go away. They never go away. So again, why is the Hope Diamond significant?
So the Smithsonian, okay. Yeah, has
the Hope Diamond is the coolest thing you've ever seen at a museum? That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What are you sleepwalking? Let me tell you, for me, honestly, it's Two Flags. It is the Francis Scott Key flag, if you ask me.
That's pretty cool, man.
Seeing that and knowing what a piece of history it is pretty amazing. You stand there like, holy smokes, man, that's it. That's the Star Spangled Banner flag. That flag right there was flying. So when you see the pictures of the explosions at Fort McHenry on fire and the incoming artillery fired from the British ships and all that stuff, and you see the flag in the painting, that's the flag. And you're like, wow. But the other one that honestly, that was kind of like the pinnacle of the visit to the National Museum of the Marine Corps is the flag that was raised on Mount Suribachi. And that is such an iconic piece of Marine Corps.
And they got both flags, don't they?
Both flags, yeah. They used to interchange them. Now they're both displayed simultaneously. But they, that is such a huge piece. And I had read so much about Iwo Jima in that battle that when the doors of that landing craft opened and you were standing in this, they don't do it anymore because of the fire marshal came in and put an end to it. What kind of bullshit is that? But, yeah, you used to be in this landing craft and there were screens 360 degrees, and you were moving to shore, and it was the film from Iwo Jima. And then the ramp goes down, and in front of you would be one of the two flags. And you're like, holy shit. It was awesome. And so that is still my those would be the two things in museums that I've seen that I would say are probably the top things. So that I've
no,
ever
I
seen.
Think like I said, because of the Smithsonian. I mean, the whole time it was like it's just something about it, man. You're like, whoa!
But you can't tell me like, anything about it. Like, oh, geez.
No, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't.
Good thing there wasn't.
It just looks nice.
Good thing there wasn't a shiny basketball in there. yeah, no kidding.
Man.
Yeah, your chimp ass would be. Oh, Mac, I saw a really, shiny basketball. I got a text message I want to bring up. I was talking about earlier today that I don't if I don't play this audio before my show, I try to play it like it at 6:55 Pacific time. I feel bad because I feel like I'm letting Andrew Pollock down. It's this audio, and everybody should remember.
My daughter has no voice. She was murdered last week, and she was taken from us.
Okay, that's Andrew Pollock talking about his daughter Meadow, who was shot 9 times. When I don't play that, I feel like I'm letting the team down. I don't have a good feeling about it. And so I watched last night, I was thinking about the demonstrations over the weekend. Not once did somebody say, hey, eye on the prize, man. School safety first, everything else second. Let me, and I didn't see Andrew Pollock at any of that stuff. And so,
right.
So I was talking about it earlier today, and I got a text message, and I need to read it. My wife is.
Are you gonna read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whoa! Throttle back there, devil dog. My wife is a teacher. Needless to say, we have very different political views. I keep asking her why the school security issue is not being taken up by the teachers union. They have all the political connections that should be necessary. So. Why is that, Mike? Why haven't we heard a scream from the teachers' unions across this country to say, we need federal funding for this. We need state funding to secure the schools. Okay? It's what we need. Why? So, and then what will they
say?
Are
you being facetious with this?
No, I'm being sincere. Why haven't we seen that? And what will they say? What will they say to the next group of parents that have to go to a morgue to pick up their kid from school? What will they say to those
parents? The teachers' units are hedging all of their bets on just getting rid of guns. I mean, that sounds stupid, and you're probably going, well, that doesn't make it. Yeah, but that's the whole.
It doesn't even.
Idea,
it doesn't know. Solve the. It doesn't solve the problem.
But see, that's your problem. You're trying to have. Again, this goes back to, you know, what we've talked about is you're trying to have a conversation with adults at the table, and there are no adults, Mac, other than yourself, and you're going to go crazy. You're going to drive yourself crazy by asking yourself these questions and saying why, because that's. With the narrative's not about that. It's not.
How can it not be, Mike? How can it not be? How can you look at 17 people dead and say, we have to solve this problem? How can you not do that? It's not like you and I are it's not like you and I are men.
It's March 27th. We moved on. That's what's happened. There's a whole new, Stormy Daniels is the new thing in the news, Mac. Who gives a shit about, I mean, the shooting that happened in Park. That's old news, man. It's old news, dude. We just kicked out Russian diplomat and Stormy Daniels. They're not even calling her Stormy because they want to make her seem like she's legitimate, so they're just calling her Daniels.
No, they're using her other name. Catherine
is in the news.
Catherine Hepburn or whatever her other name is, what her real name is.
Yeah, she's in the news. That's what the news is, man. We're not about, you know, and it goes back to, if we were about solving this, the teachers could have done this on their own years ago. Years ago. School boards could have done this years ago. How? Hire more resource officers. Live with the problem. Don't sit there and go, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe we live in a world where people are going to harm our children in schools with guns. Oh my God. Okay. Let's get past that. Yes. I agree with you. It's a shitty world we live in. I understand that. I know, but I want to sit here and dwell on the fact that it's such a horrible, horrible world. Okay. Are we going to move forward? No, not until I'm done dwelling. Well, how long is that going to be? I don't know.
But how about we
it gives me the sympathy vote.
How about we do something about it? How about we fix it?
You know, I sent you that clip today where it talks about John Stevens talks about just appealing the Second Amendment altogether. That's what they should be focused on. Yeah, let's do that.
There you go.
No, seriously, let's do that. You know why? Because I'm sick and fucking tired of what we have in position today. Let's appeal the Second Amendment. Let's start this thing, which is going to happen one of these days soon, anyway. And let's kick it off.
So,
and that being
the revolution.
What Jefferson, you know, everyone's saying, hey, the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots every now and then. It hasn't been watered in a long time. A long time. It's time, once again, to water the tree. You know, when you hear people talk about how the Constitution is outdated, we need a new one.
Yeah, that was
okay.
There was a whole bunch of people that said that over the weekend. Oh, that Constitution
that
thing.
That piece of paper? That Constitution thing?
That Constitution thing.
That was written years ago. Why are we still following that thing? That thing's old.
Yeah, it's like the Bible, for God's sakes. Nobody pays attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't go to your old TV guide 10 years ago for channel listings, do you?
No.
Duh.
No.
No. Only stupid people. God. That's the way they think, Mac. You know, and it goes back to, Mac, if people were in the business of solving problems, they would be.
Right.
They would be, you know? Because, again, it's not the rhetoric that you spit out, you know, your mouth of this is your actions. How about some actions? Shit. You know what? Like I said, I don't care, right, wrong, or indifferent. If Congress would have got together and unanimously voted on something, even if I wouldn't have agreed with it, hell, at least it would have been something. But they can't even do that. You know, school boards, superintendents, you know?
Hold on. Let me read you an email. Let me lay it out for you two ass clowns. The number one agenda item for teachers unions across the country is
retirement.
Go ahead, boy. Go ahead. Both you menses know the answer. What is it? It's pay.
Pension.
Either active duty pay or retirement. Right?
Yeah, it's pay. It's what they get paid right now or what they're going to get paid when they retire. That's it.
Okay. Then he writes number two. Now that we've got that out of the way, what do you think their position is on school boards using resources to fund additional personnel? What might that impact you two geniuses? ?
If it impacts their pay, they're not going to do it.
I know the answer to that. Then he writes, conclusion. How pathetic is it when money keeps us from doing the right thing. Mac, when you say go pick up your child from school at the morgue, it gives me chills. Honestly, because whenever you say go pick up your child, the phrase at the morgue is never associated with that. Ever.
No.
From school, from basketball, from swimming, from a friend's house, blah, 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 blah. From the morgue? Question mark, exclamation mark. Are you shitting me? It is a national disgrace that this issue has been hijacked, no matter what your stance is on guns. It's a national disgrace. And I agree with you. The next school board, what will they say to the parents who they have to confront? We didn't act soon enough. Why? Good question.
We were too busy worrying about our pension program that is bankrupt.
Right. We didn't have enough money. Okay, did you put your hand up and ask the county, state, city, and federal government for money? Did you lead that charge? Because there's a lot of school districts that are in your situation. Did you lead that? Did you seek to create an organization to come together with other like financial situations in relative to being a school district and put your hands up collectively and say, we need this solved, we need money? No. Then you're bullshit. You failed your moral obligation to support and defend the Constitution to protect the young people that you're charged with protecting on a daily basis. And that blood is on you. And I'll tell you what, Mike and I both know this. Eternity will never pardon you from that either. Because we know people that were lazy, that were inattentive, that did not do the right thing, that failed in their moral obligation. And that is a burden that will crush you throughout the course of the rest of your life. So good luck on that shit.
Yeah, but life is lost because you're lazy and you're incompetent and you're just because you've never got around to doing it. That's a lot worse. That's a special kind of hell you go to, boys.
Yeah, that's that nobody and nobody can ever lift you because you know the truth. You know it was your fault. You know it.
Yeah.
All right. And we both have seen people in that situation and you look at them and think, thank God, man. And you wonder what gets your ass out of bed in the morning? What makes you go to make that one final check? What makes you go over the details of the confirmation brief? What makes you do all these things on a daily basis? Right? Cause you've seen when people get killed and people didn't live up to their moral obligations to the families of the Marines that they lead. Right? To the to their families, to send them home. And the only reason they're not coming home is because either one, the randomness of combat, or the enemy had a boat that day and something happened. But never because you're negligent.
And their vote was heard.
That's right. And never because of negligence, never because of lack of preparedness, never because of a lack of effort. Never, 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 never. And what we're seeing across the country, as Mike said, is we've turned the page. There's not a whole lot we can do.
We wait for history to turn the page. Because then time will turn the page. It always does. And that's the great thing about America is the fact that we are third graders with ADD. We cannot stay focused on any task, anything, any point for long. Something will always distract us and pull our attention away. And that's what they like. Politicians love it. Why? Because, shit, I can't wait till something happens. Oh, it just did. I'm out of the news. You know, shit, like right now, I bet you Donald Trump, his team is praying for a natural disaster.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Where's a natural disaster when you need one? Can we create one?
Could we?
You know, can we seed the clouds and make a huge flood in somewhere? Or tornado could drop out of the sky and rip apart. That's just, because time, you just, oop, new thing on the news, oop.
Yeah, see you later.
And this parkland thing, yeah.
See you later, Stormy. Hope you enjoyed your little, hope you enjoyed your 15 seconds
your
15 of fame.
15 minutes of fame, yeah.
Another email. The teachers union are run by leftists. given the option of solving the school security problem or taking a large chunk of the Second Amendment away, you can see the course they're taking. The gunner is spot on. The movement is ignoring Meadows' dad because he doesn't fit into the narrative of taking away semi-automatic weapons. Chinese,
yeah.
Great segment. Again, they think in terms of centuries. Don't forget the Chinese baby factories that we occasionally discovered, but do not mention the wave of Chinese buying property assets and companies in the U.S. As much as the trade war with China may be painful, it also may save us in the long run. I agree. The trade war with China is necessary.
Yeah.
Did the gunner catch the terror preview Sunday night following The Walking Dead? Mike?
The terror preview? Oh, I watched the whole show.
Oh, you watched the whole show. And then he goes on.
Episode one.
Following the 60-minute Stormy Daniels special, CBS led with it Monday morning and Monday night. Good grief. Journalism is dead there. Martha and Catherine Herridge, Fox's best reporter. I will tell you what. I watch a lot of news. The best reporter on TV works for Fox, and her name is Catherine Herridge. She is a professional.
Yeah, I agree.
She stays in her lane. She sticks to facts. She does research. She's a stud. On last night with a story about a photojournalist that escaped ISIS captivity in Syria. He is making some big claims against the FBI. He seems to be a pretty sharp dude. He appears on Martha. What's her last name? Martha. She's on Fox.
McCallum.
Yeah. Personally tonight. Fascinating. I did see that article, and what he alleges is he gets abducted by ISIS. And as he's working in Syria, and he's trying to cross into Turkey, and he gets snatched. Okay, they get his all of his passwords for his bank account, blah 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 blah. They start buying shit. So the FBI comes to his family and says, "We think he's turned, and he's helping them." And they're like, "No," and they're like, "Yeah, that's what we think."
Well, he's buying stuff. He's buying stuff.
So. What the FBI does is they watch this stuff, and they're then attempt to recruit, evidently, according to his story, then they attempt to recruit people as agents that are doing this, all the while letting like his bank account and everything get annihilated. And then he comes back and he asks them for help because the FBI clearly monitored this, and he knew this because I think the FBI, an agent contacted his girlfriend and said, and the FBI agent said, yeah, we've been monitoring his bank accounts and clearly the activity is from ISIS, not him. And so it's like, wait a minute, and then he came back and asked for help. Can you help me document this so I can get a new social security number so I can do this? And they were like, no. Don't return emails, any of it. So it's pretty that the FBI kind of used the guy, and then we don't know him.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a very interesting how this thing spins out. So
another email.
But go ahead.
I listened. Hold on, I lost my place. I listened to the gun segment yesterday about modular pistols.
Handguns? Right.
And I find it really interesting. I've seen some pictures that you posted, Mac, for some of your segments. One of them was a modular-looking rifle, and it seems like modular technology coming to both handguns and rifles is long overdue and looks to me to be exceptional, especially in terms of eye relief, stock length, and the way that you can trick out a rifle so that you get the same eye relief every time. Mike, thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is, you know, the argument's always been, you know, like, I remember I wrote a paper when we were trying to get, you know, things for our rifles. The problem, when I first came in, we had the M16A1s, and then we were transitioning to the M16A2s.
Cool.
Right.
Right.
So the M, if you're not familiar, the M16A1, and definitely the first generation of the M16A2, it was a one-size-fits-all. It had a carrying handle, had an adjustable rear sight, so adjustable front sight, you know, everything there. Stock, a trigger, a handguard, a pistol grip. And it was 40 inches long. That was it. You couldn't get it any shorter. You couldn't make it any longer. And so I wrote this paper on talking about modularity back then, years and years before it became coined. And I never used the word modular. But I said like adjustable or, you know, fit, individually fit. So when I came in there and said, you know, how many pairs of boots does the Marine Corps Cashdales have? Do you have any idea? Hundreds. Hundreds. Why? Because people's feet are all different sizes. How many different blouses are there in the Marine Corps? Hundreds. Trousers. Hundreds. Why? Because people come in different sizes. Right? But then when we start talking about, you know, helmets, we classify, there's only four different head sizes in the entire, five different head sizes in the entire world. Extra large, large, medium, small, and extra small. You know, really? So if your head doesn't fit in any one of those categories, you're screwed. You know? And then it came down to body armor, same thing. But then it was rifle, one size fits all, baby. So that girl who's 5'0" and the guy who's 6'4" are shooting the same rifle and supposed to be doing the same thing with it. No. You know, that 6'4", 6'5" guy, that rifle feels like a toothpick. That girl that, you know, that's 5', the rifle's 3/4 of her height. When she goes to, you know, parade rest, or she's got the thing at, you know, at her side, it's almost up to her earlobe. So that really came into the problem is we needed more adjustability, more flavor, you know. We need something. And everybody scoffed at that. Like, Thunder, we've been winning every war since then. Where's the problem? You know? And everything in the Marine Corps was built on a binary evaluation. It's either, are we winning or we're not? We're winning? Okay. Well, then why change? You know? But we never lost at anything. Because even if we did, we changed the margin. So, like, even in those bad days of recruiting, we always made mission. Why? Because when we started the year and we said our mission was 1,000, and man, we're going to be like short this year. So then we lower it to 900. We rewrite it, 900. And then at the bell, we write 805 contracts. Guess what our mission was? 804, baby. We're one over. Man, we made mission. We're 101%. So it got to me, and that's how it just blew my mind that we do this kind of shit, and we change the rules, and we do things. Ugh.
Okay, so tell me about modular stocks, and, I mean, is it?
They're all over. Yeah, it's the place to be. Would you buy a car if it didn't have a seat adjuster in it?
If it did or did not?
Did not.
No,
how would I get it? You're like, man, this is kind of tight.
Yeah, how would I adjust?
No. No, sir, it doesn't. Can I move the seat back? No, sir. The headrest? No, sir. Well, my knees are in the chest. Are you going to buy it or not? I mean, what are you fucking asking from me? You want a modular car? You want a car that fits you? Shit.
Get out of here.
Are you kidding me?
Get out of here!
So many people come to me and they're like, should I get a gun that's, you know, modular? What?
What?
Do you have a car that's got a fixed seat? No.
But my grandpa.
What size shoe do you wear?
My grandpa did.
9. Do you want, all you buy is a pair of 11? No. Okay. So you can answer your own question. Of course. You want something that fits you. You're unique.
That's okay. Don't, hey, you don't have to yell.
I'm sorry.
The
Stormy Daniel thing got me mad, man.
What are you mad about the Stormy Daniel thing?
That she's getting this whole, like, you know, sympathetic Anderson Cooper was having an interview.
Oh, my God. Come on. That's what he does, man. He's a jackass.
He's a bad actor.
You know what? Even worse.
It was the first time.
Go ahead.
He didn't have to perform any sex act on somebody. First time. So she was kind of bedazzled by that. She was like, whoa, I don't know what to do. This is kind of unique for me.
What I find most intriguing, what I find most intriguing about it is, the double standard, you know, the things that got said after the Clinton Lewinsky thing, you know, are we really going to vilify somebody for consensual sex? Yes, it was, you know, outside the marriage, but are we really going to, you know, engage in the politics of personal
It was in the Oval Office. Yeah. Yes. But it was still consensual, right? It was still both parties agreed to this. Yes. One of them was married to the first lady. That would probably make him the president. I understand that, but let's all joking aside here. They both agreed.
And again, the reason why that stuff is bad.
Remember too, though, he wasn't in trouble because he had sex with Monica Lewinsky in the White House. He was in trouble because he lied. He perjured. He put his right hand on a Bible and said, I swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then what came out of his mouth was lies. You can't do that as the President of the United States.
He was consistent, though.
Yeah, he was a habitual liar. You're right.
It's not
pathological.
It's not like he just lied like once or twice, right?
No, he lied all the time.
Okay.
No, you got to hand it to him.
You got to hand it to him. All right, here he is.
But I want to say one thing to the American people.
What's that? What's that, bro?
I want you to listen to me. Okay. I'm going to say this again.
I'm listening.
I'm writing it down.
Okay. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Are you pounding on the table or is that my ears?
Miss Lewinsky.
Bill, can you say that one more time?
I never told anybody to lie.
Of course
not.
Not
a single time.
Not ever.
Never.
No.
These allegations
are
false.
They didn't have to be told.
And I need to go back to work for the American people. But
he's pounding
what? You're finally going to work for us?
It took you
getting a sexual favor in the White House to actually go work for us?
Like, let me just tell you, it doesn't get funnier than that because here's a guy
who
let an intern, right?
Yeah.
Give him a blowjob, and he has the balls to stand out in front of the American people and beat on a podium and say, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky.
And mad dog us during the whole thing.
Yeah, he's
like,
mad dog.
We're the problem. Like, listen, you son of bitches, I'm going to tell you this one thing right now. And you better get this through your thick skull right now.
Because I need to get back to work for the American people. I don't need this made-up bullshit that I had sex with this woman. I didn't.
Right.
Okay, can I ask a question? No. Can I ask a question? Did she ever take your penis in her mouth and do anything with it? What does that have to do with anything?
That's not sex. You asked me if I had sex with her.
That's not
that
sex.
Wasn't sex.
Yes, of course she did. Are you kidding me? In the Oval Office, yes. In the closet where there's no cameras. Yes, yes, yes. But what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing to do with the tea in China, that's for sure.
Nothing. Our bad. Sorry about that, boss. But again, pounding. This is, hold on, let me play it one more time. It's 27 seconds.
I love it.
It is, so do yeah. I. But the part I love the most is him pounding on the podium. That's the best.
Yeah. Or just that stern look. Like I said, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah. As you said, he's mad dogging everybody. Okay. Now he's scolding the whole nation here.
But I want to say one thing to the American people.
American people?
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
Now,
sorry for bothering you, Mr. President.
Sorry. He ruined her life. That's why you're not allowed.
Oh, come on. She.
No, Mike. She. Yeah. No, she is. She can't go anywhere without being ridiculed. Okay?
I know.
She is the village
idiot.
She is the village idiot. No, she was 23 and stupid. That's why you're not allowed to take advantage of your office. And now this applies to leaders, but not really politicians. You're not allowed to do that. Okay? For this very reason. Yeah, I know. I know. Sorry. Crazy talk here on All Marine Radio. Crazy talk.
For his defense, he did say, I did not have sexual relations. So a blowjob is not sex. And he didn't have a relationship. It was just a one, you know. Hell, probably didn't know her last name. That's not a relationship. So, yeah.
He knew her last name, Ms. Lewinsky. Oh. He didn't know her first name.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
He's a gentleman. He's from Arkansas. Those southern guys. That's how they do it.
Yeah, he's a gentleman, all right.
But that is classic. Hold on. Here's an email. First of all,
hopefully
I want to...
it's a Bill Clinton supporter.
I want to say, for the record, I don't think you two are ass clowns. Okay? Thank you. We're not ass clowns. Mike, have you seen ass clowns in your life?
You know, we should never brought that word out because now all these people love it's. It is a cool word, man. It's fun to use, but you got to use it in the right context.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, we are ass clowns, but not right now.
Yeah, not right now. Clinton was an ass clown with that shit.
Yeah.
That straight up, like his friends were probably sitting in a bar, like watching it,
spitting beer on each other.
Going.
Did you just hear what Slick Willie just said?
Yeah. And then the response, that ass clown's got game, man. He's got game.
Hell yeah.
Standing up and just feeding it to the whole
country.
He's
a baller, man.
He's a baller, okay. Man. Legit.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah.
The,
So what's the email say? We're not one?
Yeah. I think you two are spot on, and I just want to say that I don't hear that many people screaming about this issue, and it ought to be something that every newscast ought to be screaming about on a daily basis, because when this happens again and the school is not prepared, the blood that you're talking about will be. There is no excuse after the president brought people to the White House and the roundtables that we've seen and the different discussions from every school district, either one, taking the appropriate action, or two, doing what you two have talked about, putting their hand up and saying, we need more resources. Those are the only two courses of action that are available to school districts. You've got to have somebody on campus that's armed, that's willing to mix it up with somebody. Two, if you can't afford it, you got to scream, help, we need help, we don't have the assets. And that it is the state, county, or federal government's responsibility to step in and support. No doubt. If you don't do this, you are in breach of your moral contract with the people supposedly you swore an oath to support and defend. Appreciate the programs.
Yeah.
Non-ass clowns. Out. Thank you.
Yeah, I would do it for free. Yeah. I would do it for free.
You go take your turn on campus?
Yeah, for free. I wouldn't ask for a paycheck.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that would do that at the community school.
Yeah. You tell me what qualifications I need. I'd go get them. Tell if you told me how to go through the police academy, I would do it, but I'd bitch about it, but I'd do it. I'd pay my own dime. And then I'd go do it for free.
Go part of volunteering and being part of your community.
Yeah, why not? I have that capability. I have that skill set.
Right.
You know, I would do it.
Do you think you're alone in that group?
No.
A lot of guys would, right? A lot of retired guys, cops, sheriffs.
Cops, it depends. Cops don't get paid a lot of money, man. You know, they make a lot of extra money doing the side gigs. You know, the whole notion with police departments make.
Yeah,
you know,
Mike, but they get a better retirement than you do. Most of them. Most of them retire at their highest. Most of them in retirement will make the same amount as they did when they were on active duty. They step sideways, man. They don't step down. You got 50% for the most part. That's what DOD does. You get 50%.
I didn't.
What'd you get?
I did 31 years, time and pay.
So what is that, 31 years? What percentage? How much?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
All right. Well, look it up. Let me know. But police firefighters, they 80, 90, 100%? Yeah, they do all right.
Yeah, then you know what? Then I don't have any – then they should do it too.
You know, but the point is, if you can't afford – to me, and I would add this to his list. There's two things you have to do. One is hire somebody. Two, if you don't have the resources, okay, ask for them. Three, create a program with training specifications for volunteers to come protect schools. And you will have one, made your living with a weapon for in excess of 10 years. Two, you will have completed this, and we'll have a background check done, signed off by the school district, the local police department, whatever. You will have undergone an interview with our local security guy, and then you will be...
No, with the police department or somebody.
Whoever.
You know, like the same,
right?
Same hiring process, because it's not that tough. You know, hell, do a polygraph. You know, a board, do a psychological evaluation, do a medical evaluation, and then do a panel in front of people, you know, have a representative of the mayor or the superintendent, you know, those people, and ask those tough questions after you do all the other stuff. Background check, everything. Not just a local background check, you know, go through the FBI.
All of it.
It's going to cost you some money, but you know what? It's worth it.
Yeah, but you can...
Guy's not asking for a paycheck.
You can afford that because you can't afford to hire him full time, so you're getting off cheap, right? So you create this program.
Buy him lunch when he's on duty or whatever, too.
Give him a
cup of coffee.
Yeah, give him a pass to the cafeteria, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's a course of action as well. But doing nothing is not a course of action.
What we're doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it is. You know...
No, it's not.
Decision is still a decision.
No, it's not a course of action.
It's the worst possible kind.
Don't.
No, it is.
We're telling you, if you have to live with, and let me tell you, to the school district and out there, that this is going to happen to. Okay, we're trying to give you, you know, courses of action that address the spectrum of your funding status. Okay. But we can tell you without a doubt, we can tell you unequivocally, because we know people that live with this shit, okay? The burden that you will bear after this event for your inactivity and your failing your moral obligation is a burden that will crush you, will crush the spirit out of you, and will change you forever. Email. Mac, right. I heard Bull Halsey state in his memoirs, weed allergies are for pussies. Look, there's nothing I can do. I have a weed allergy. I'm not a pussy, though. Okay? Ask Mike.
Well, they're taking you off topic. They're taking you off topic. Don't say I've come off topic.
All right. I'm back on. So, again, we're Allmarine Radio. We're giving you, we're public servants, man.
Here's a solution. Yeah. A solution.
Here's a solution. No matter where you are financially, but you got to do something. And if you can't do anything, right? Here's one for free or for cheap. But simultaneously, put your hand up and scream, "I need help. I can't do this."
Yeah, get community buy-in. Our solution is getting the community involved, getting more ass in the game.
And let me tell you the way it works tactically. If I tell Mike, you were going to attack, seize, and hold the Hadith and Nam for a period of 4 days while we conduct this. If Mike can't do any of that, if he looks at it and says, okay, this is what I got, right, this is what I expect, if he doesn't believe he can do it, what's his moral obligation?
I'm going to say, I need this.
Exactly. He's got to.
If you're asking me that, then I need these type of attachments, this reinforcement, and this type of air support. Well, okay, I'll meet you halfway. You got this, this, and this. All right, I'll do it.
But if this happens, you got to give me this. Okay, deal. You have to do that. It's not in the realm of possibility for somebody that raises their hand and takes an oath to take care of other people to not do that shit. You can't do that. And yet
we see it
over the country.
They're doing it.
And let me tell you, how the fuck is that sheriff down in Broward County still in office? Yeah.
Because it takes a lot to fire a guy.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about the word ass clown? Ass clown, do you remember that guy parading out in his sunglasses and his slick hair and all that and his four stars? That's an ass clown.
Yeah.
That's a straight up ass clown. So, anyway. Next email. Boy, you guys need to get back on your medications. You guys are fired up today. I go back to, this is what has me fired up, and that's shit from over the weekend. This audio.
It's simple. It's not difficult. We protect airports. We protect concerts, stadiums, embassies, the Department of Education that I walked in today that has a security guard in the elevator. How do you think that makes me feel? In the elevator, they got a security guard. I'm very angry that this happened.
He was going to say, I'm pissed there, but he saves that for another 30 seconds. Listen for 30 seconds.
Because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me. I'm not going to sleep until it's fixed. And, Mr. President, we're going to fix it. Because I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to rest. And look, my boys need to live with this. I want to see everyone. You guys look at this. Me, I'm a man. But to see your children go through this, bury their sister. So that's what I keep saying is because I want it to sink in. Not forget about this. We can't forget about it. All the school shootings, it doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it. And I'm pissed, because my daughter I'm not going to see again. She's not here. She's in North Lauderdale, at whatever it is, King David Cemetery.
See, how do you get that? How do you get that out of your head? How you get that guy's anguish, his talking about his daughter, his watching his sons bury their sister, how do you get that out of your head and move on to the next agenda item? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a point. No one's done, and I would beg to differ, they didn't do shit about 9/11. They did, we're right back to where we were almost.
Yeah, but cosmetically, right?
We did fix it, yeah. Cosmetically, we did fix a lot of things.
We did a lot of things.
The facades were built even stronger.
Okay, no, but again, You know, so from the outside in, you know his point, and I didn't play the whole thing, but he says, look, I go to the airport, I can't get on an airplane with a bottle of water. And we can't do anything at the schools. You just walk in and start blasting away. And it happens
yeah.
over.
I like his whole
yeah.
walks in the Department of Education and there's a security guard in the elevator.
Yeah. But you know what?
That's that whole thing of the, you know, the politicians bitching about, oh, we got to de-arm the society, but they walk around with armed guards.
Yeah.
Protecting them, driving them around. You know, that's that same mentality there.
Yep.
Guns are evil, except for my bodyguards need them because
you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, because my life's
pretty important.
Those rules apply to you, but not to me.
Right.
Yeah, the different set of rules apply to me. It's just, and again, what I saw over the weekend was, in my opinion, our country at its worst. They've taken that anguish that should all be routed into school safety, and it's being funneled into a political agenda of a political party. And that party hasn't even said, this is part of our broader strategy for protecting school, and we don't want us to lose sight of the – that party hasn't said that shit. They're so happy because now we're going to eliminate guns. And Mike and I said yesterday – okay, we'll fairy dust it. Those guns are eliminated. Can't buy them anymore. Do you think that's going to be the end of these school shootings? No, it's not. It's not.
No.
So, that's all the problem.
Or
all
school right. stabbings, or school, pick something.
300,
what did you mean?
300 million guns, man. 300 million guns. Trust me. If you don't secure the school, then it's all bullshit. It's all just bullshit. Okay, what do you got going on for the rest of the day? Anything exciting?
No. It's raining out, but I still got to go pick up. I got to make sure I got, like, stuff to smoke the meat, because I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow.
That's right. That's right.
That tomorrow.
We have to, I'm headed to the VA in Long Beach.
Oh, good luck.
What do you mean?
Well, like you said, I mean, it's a crapshoot, man. Either you're going to have a good time or you're going to have a memorable time.
Yeah, I had a good time the last time I went.
That means you're going to have a bad time.
You think? It doesn't. You got two in a row is too much?
Shit, yeah, one in a row.
You're too jaded, man. The Long Beach VA is, they're...
I'm sure. I bet you it is a good place.
Well, I've had...
And you know, but like I said...
I've had a good
The
experience.
Fort Worth VA is a great place. It's just that they can't do much for you there. You got to go to the big one, the Dallas one.
Hmm. Interesting. But, you know, the big one in West L.A. isn't good. You know, so it's
in
not...
West L.A.?
Yeah, West L.A. sucks. Yeah, that surprises you, right? You would think all the money in West L.A., that thing's...
Yeah.
Brutal. Yeah, notorious for being bad, too.
Sick.
Yeah. 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 Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. All right, man. I will talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. I'll talk to
you. Yeah, yeah. Michael Musselman here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Always a privilege to have him on. That'll do it. Don't touch that dial. What you're going to hear, if you haven't heard the transgender policy and the rationale behind it, I don't want to break my arm patting myself on the back, but I will tell you this. We did a series of show on the transgender issue, and honestly, I did not know. I thought a transgender person was somebody who wanted a sex change operation. The population is much broader than that. In essence, if you check the transgender block, you have two other questions that you have to answer. Have you been living in your desired sexual state for the last 36 months? If you check yes, go to the next question. Do you contemplate that you will have or desire gender reassignment surgery during your period of enlistment? If you check no, continue to the next question. If you check yes, questionnaire is done. You're not qualified. And that is, again, that is nobody cares. There's no editorial comment. You are not, what your life is going to require is not compatible with military service. Okay? Now, I guess the question is, if you're post-surgery and have been that way for 3 years, and you walk in and say, hey, I'd like to join the military, is that possible? Let me go. You know what? I'll answer that question tomorrow. Anyway, have a great day. On a Tuesday, with this program repeating itself momentarily, All Marine Radio, over and out. That's Canadian for out.